As cold gives way, even is all my hope and stay. On Christ a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
His oath is covenant, his blood. Okay, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18 now. 1 Samuel chapter 18. If you remember something about Sunday morning's message from Exodus chapter 6, where the Lord spoke of his covenant concerning his people and what all he said he would do for his people because of that covenant. Well, one illustration would have sufficed, would have fit perfectly. I didn't use it. Some of us were standing around afterward and I brought it up. Wish I had used it in the middle of the message. But we're going to use it tonight. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 18 is the story of David, Saul, and Jonathan. David, I'll refresh your memory about this story. David is God's chosen king. And always has been. But a man named Saul was reigning at this time. Saul was on the throne. And Saul hated David. He hated him. He was David's enemy. Saul had a son named Jonathan who loved David. Loved him as his own soul, the scripture said. And David loved Jonathan. Look here in chapter 18. It says that, verse 3, Jonathan and David made a covenant. Made a covenant because Jonathan loved David. And David loved Jonathan as his own soul. One time, well, after Jonathan had died, David lamented and wept over Jonathan and said concerning him, "Your love passed the love of women." This was much deeper. In verse 4, it says that Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him. Now, Jonathan was Saul's son. He was the heir to the throne, and he had on some royal robes. And he stripped himself of those robes, gave them to David, his garments, sword, bow, and his girdle. What a beautiful picture this is of how our Lord Jesus Christ, the love between God the Father and God the Son that they had in the beginning, and how that Christ stripped himself of his royal robes to come to this earth to redeem his people, to do the Father's will. What a pretty picture that is. Well, they made a covenant, as we read. They made a covenant, and it was concerning Jonathan's posterity, Jonathan's family. Chapter 20, go over there. Chapter 20. They made this covenant, David and Jonathan. Jonathan knew that he was going to die soon. He knew that David was going to reign over Israel. And this covenant that they made together was concerning Jonathan's son. That Jonathan wanted David to show mercy and kindness to his son after he passed away. Chapter 20, verses 15 through 17 that we read. Also, Jonathan said, "Thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever." No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemy." And Jonathan caused David to swear or take an oath because he loved him. He loved him as his own soul. So David swore. David swore to Jonathan. By his love he had to Jonathan, that for Jonathan's sake, when David, when he came to the throne, for Jonathan's sake, that he would show kindness to Jonathan's son. For Jonathan's sake. Alright, now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now be real curious who was not here 4 years ago. That was the last time this was preached. The 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now this covenant, as we said, this covenant represents the eternal covenant of grace that God Almighty, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a covenant, a pact, they made together before the world began, before there was anything, in which God the Father purposed to show mercy, to show grace, to show salvation, to show kindness to some of the sons of Adam who would be his enemies. Some of the sons of Adam, God purposed to show kindness to them in time for Christ's sake, for his son's sake. And his son agreed to come here and die and purchase their redemption. Now this is a story of God's covenant, this Old Testament story. It is the story of this covenant. God's covenant kindness for Christ's sake. Alright, David is now on the throne. David is on the throne. He's reigning. The house of Saul has been pretty much destroyed. All of David's enemies have been destroyed. And everyone in the house of Saul, except for a few sons, 8 to be exact, of Saul, were destroyed. And these sons of Saul will be destroyed. 7 of them. We probably won't have time to see that. But nevertheless, all of the enemies of David will be destroyed. Now David is sitting on his throne and he starts thinking about his dearly beloved friend Jonathan, whom he loved as his own soul. And David remembers the covenant that they made together years before. David remembers this covenant, and so he calls one of his servants to him. Here in chapter 9, verse 1, David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake, according to that covenant I made with Jonathan? Is there anyone left that I might fulfill my word and show kindness?" Now there was of the house, verse 2, there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" He said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Now, let's go back to chapter 4 of this book, 2 Samuel chapter 4. So Jonathan had a son who was lame on his feet, both feet. That means he couldn't walk. He's lame, crippled. And the way that this happened, this son of Jonathan, chapter 4, when the news came, see, Saul and Jonathan were killed. And the news came of that. And Jonathan's son's nurse, verse 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings, when the news came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. His nurse took him up, picked up this 5-year-old boy and ran. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee. She was in such a hurry that she dropped him. He fell. And he became lame by this fall. And his name was Mephibosheth. He was lame by this fall. As a result of this fall he took, Mephibosheth was lame. That means just what it means. He was unable to walk. He's crippled. Unable to run. He cannot come and go as he pleased. From that day forward, he was totally dependent on somebody to pick him up, carry him, do everything for him. He's lame on both his feet. Well, this is our story. So it was and so it is concerning all the sons of Adam. We're lame. We're born that way. Lame by fall. Fall of our father Adam. Says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're born that way. We're born sinners. We fell in our father Adam. In Adam all died, the scripture said. We're born lame. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. Unable to walk with God, unwilling to walk with God even if we could. Unable to come to God, unwilling to come to God. Born enemies. Now this Mephibosheth was the son of Saul, the grandson of Saul. That made him an enemy of the king. Right? All of David's enemies, all the sons of Saul are going to be killed. And this Mephibosheth is one of those sons, a grandson, albeit. But that made him an enemy to the rightful king. And that's us. We're born enemies of God, right? Romans 8:7 says the carnal mind, the natural man is enmity against God. Ephesians 2 says we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Can you quote the next verse? But God. But God. Rich in mercy. Scripture said, for his great love wherewith he loved his people in Christ, purpose to show kindness, to show mercy, to show grace to some of these enemies of the king for Christ's sake. Completely for Christ's sake. All right, let's look at back at chapter 9. The king asked this Ziba, verse 4. The king said unto him, where is he? Where can we find this Ziba? Where is it? And Ziba said unto the king, verse 4, behold, he is in the house of Maker, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. He's down in the house of Maker. He's the son of Amiel in a city called Lodibar. Now, every word is significant in God's Word. The word maker means a salesman or a seller. The word Amiel, the name Amiel means people of God. And the name of the city Lodibar means without pasture. Like sheep have no pasture. Dry, dead, no pasture. Nothing either. Now, can you picture this Mephibosheth tell us? He's living down in this pretty forlorn place called Lodibar. He's living in somebody else's house, house of a salesman. And the man, he's borrowed the place he's living. Now this is a picture of us, every one of us by nature. This is where God Almighty finds every one of those He purposed to show kindness to. We were once, or supposed to be, children of God, created in the image of God. Not anymore. Sold ourselves. Sold out to sin. Enemies of God. Living in a place with no pasture. Like that old prodigal son, you know, thought he was doing okay, but he was in the hog pen. Thought he was all right. I'm fine. Somebody come along, you doing all right, Mr. Prodigal? Oh, I'm doing fine. Eating husks with the hogs. I'm doing fine. I'll get along just fine. Thank you. And that was all of us. Every one of us. This is where God Almighty finds His people. Now this Mephibosheth is not seeking David. He's not calling on David. He should be. Shouldn't he? He's the enemy of David, and later on all his brothers or uncles are going to be killed because they're Saul's sons. He ought to be calling on David. Sending out messages of repentance and asking for mercy and so forth. He's not calling on David. Maybe he doesn't even like David. You know? Maybe he doesn't even like David. Maybe he's bitter against David because his granddad, you know, ought to be on the throne. David, he might think, is not the rightful king. Maybe he thinks he ought to be on the throne. I'm the rightful heir to this throne. I will not have this David reign over me. Maybe he thinks all that. You reckon? Could be. Well, I know this. He doesn't realize the danger he's in. He doesn't have a clue. Or he'd be begging David for mercy. He'd crawl to David if he could. If he realized the danger he's in. Wouldn't he? He doesn't realize it. Now, he's not calling on David. But David, who is rich in mercy, who is a great man, a loving man, a merciful man, a true and a faithful king, just like his Lord. That's where David got this spirit and attitude. Got it from his Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. Wouldn't you have liked to have met David? Huh? You have. If you know David's Lord, you know David. If you know anybody Christ-like, you know David. Oh yeah, merciful men, men of kindness. That's who they are. God calls them that. David was true to his word. The word he made to Jonathan. He's going to be true to him. Oh yeah. He's going to be true to his covenant he made with Jonathan. And so David, according to this covenant he made with Jonathan, and because he's going to be true to Jonathan and to that agreement, that covenant they made, David starts seeking Jonathan. He seeks Mephibosheth. Now look at verse 5. Then King David sent. He heard about this fellow named Mephibosheth. I kind of believe he knew about him. Don't you? Is there anything the king doesn't know, Sam? He knew. He knew all about it. But this is written for our sake. All of this is written for our sake. Well, when David heard about this Mephibosheth down in Lodibar, then King David sent, and it says he fetched him. Now, all our old southern sayings aren't original. Most of them come from God's Word. You reckon?
That's Romans 6:11, and reckon yourselves
to be dead. And on and on we could go, hoping. He's hoping that. That's a scriptural word. Fetch him.
The word fetch,
listen to this. I just looked it up in the concordance. The word fetch means taking. The word fetch means seizing. The word fetch means bringing. The word fetch means carrying.
Honest.
The word fetch means drawing. The word fetch means accepting.
Fetching.
He's not calling. Mephibosheth's not calling. But the king sends the command.
Fetch him.
Bring him. Draw him. Accept him. Seize him. Take hold on him. Grab him. Pick him up. Bring him to me.
Fetch him.
Now, is there any doubt that this man's coming? What if one of his servants, what if one of King David's servants said, but King David, what if the man's not willing? Fetch him! But what if he won't cooperate? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think for a moment that one or even two or three of King David's mighty captains that slew thousands of Philistines single-handedly, that one or two or three of King David's mighty captains couldn't bring one lame man to them? You think they're going to have any trouble? Fetch him. Bring him to me. So they came to where Mephibosheth was. Mephibosheth didn't come to them. He was brought. They came to where Mephibosheth was. Now, it does not say here in our story, it does not say they knocked on a door. It does not say that they asked anybody for permission to come in. It doesn't say that they asked Mephibosheth if he would come. Apparently, they bypassed the door or knocked it down. Bypassed everyone in the house, in the family, to get to this one old lame fellow. That's the way salvation is. Christ doesn't stand out and knock on the door of sinners. He is the door. He doesn't ask people anything. He fetches them. Well, they came in and they laid hold on this old fellow. Maybe two of these mighty servants of David came in. There is lame fellow sitting. And they grabbed him. And they said, if they said anything at all, they said, Mephibosheth, you're coming with us to appear before the king. They may not have told him why. Probably didn't. You're coming with us, and you're going to appear before the king. Now, salvation, in a word, is to be fetched. You know that? You know that. Everyone in here who has been an object of God's saving grace was fetched. You know that's why you're here. You were fetched by order of the king. Psalm 71:3 says, Thou hast given commandment to save me. Kings don't ask anybody anything. They just fetch them. They give the order and they're brought. The sovereign king, the sovereign God sent his word by his servant, the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, you reckon the Holy Spirit can bring one lame fellow to Christ? Reckon you have any trouble? The wind that bloweth where it listeth? Well, God sends His Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel in power and lays hold on us, apprehends us, doesn't ask us anything. Like the song says, Almighty love, arrest that man. Like the scripture says, hitherto have you come and no further. And brings us, fetches us, makes us accepted in the Beloved, carries us all the way. Like Christ said of that sheep that He found, left the 99 to fetch the one in the wilderness, and said, when He had found him, put him on his shoulder and brought him home. Brought him all the way home. Carried him all the way. That's what that scripture said, doesn't it, Nancy, in Isaiah? From the cradle to the grave, through your hoary head, I carried you all the way. I don't know why I pointed at you when I said hoary head. There are other hoary heads in here. Lots of them. All been carried all the way. Well, it's all for Christ's sake. We're going to see that. Now, if Mephibosheth didn't fear the king before, he does now, buddy. If he didn't fear the king before, if he had any idea or thoughts of rebellion before, he doesn't now, buddy. He's been apprehended. He's been laid hold of. He's between the arms of two mighty fellows being carried to meet the king. And he's trembling. You know he is. If they didn't tell him what this was about, he's afraid. He's afraid for his life. If he didn't know King David before, he didn't know this king's power and might and true sovereignty, if he didn't know that David really and truly is reigning and ruling and doing what he will with whom he will, he does now, buddy. He does now. He's about to meet the true king. And he's shaking in his boots. Well, he's brought by these servants into the king's court. Now, I cannot describe David's court. I haven't been there. I wish I could. The greatest king on the planet, ever. Perhaps with the exception of his son Solomon. And one greater than him. The greatest king sitting on his royal throne. Try to picture this now. This great king, greatest king on the earth, King David, sitting on his throne in his sovereign power and glory and regal splendor. What do you think the reaction of this man is when he's brought in before this true sovereign? Huh? When he finally meets a king who is a king. What is his reaction? Same reaction that every true son of Adam who meets the true Christ has. Everyone who meets the true sovereign, God, same reaction. Look at verse 6. It says, when Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come in to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. Fell on his face. And you won't hear him, none of this foolishness. I hate to bring it up again, but it's all we hear now, isn't it? King, I've decided to make you my king. Can you imagine? In your wildest dream, could you imagine Mephibosheth at this time saying something so foolish? No, I decided to come here. I decided for you. No. Look at him. Verse 6. It says, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. In other words, I'm yours to do with as you please. You're the king. I'm the subject. I'm in your hands to do with as you please. Fear and trembling, no rights. He doesn't have any rights, does he? He's not pleading his rights. And he's not an enemy now. He's not an enemy. All rebellion's gone out of him for fear of the king. He bows and does reverence to the king. He says, do with me as you please. Well, what's the king going to do? What's David going to do? It's an enemy. This man could rise up in rebellion against him. What's the king going to do? What's he going to say? Well, look at verse 7. David said unto him, "Fear not. Fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. To all who fear the Lord, and to only those that fear the Lord first." Then the gospel message comes. Fear not. To all who truly fear the Lord and bow before His sovereign kingship and do Him reverence and worship Him as an undeserving enemy of the king. Hell deserving. First pointed this out to us, that the command which our Lord said to His disciples more than any other was this: fear not. Fear not. God's people are God-fearing people, and the gospel is for those that fear the Lord. It says, fear not. Why? How come? You're going to show me mercy? Yeah. Why? For Jonathan's sake. For your father Jonathan's sake, and the mercy which God Almighty shows to us, the grace, the salvation, is all for Christ's sake. For that covenant that God made. How important is the covenant that God made with His Son? Our salvation depends on it. Huh? It depends on His oath. David swore to Jonathan, and Jonathan to David, didn't he? His oath and His covenant. For Jonathan's sake. And read on. It says verse 7. And David says, I'm going to spare you for Jonathan's, your father's sake. And as if that's not enough, he's not only going to spare him, show him mercy, but and he says, will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. I'm going to give you back, Mephibosheth, everything that belonged to your granddad. Now, get that. Can you picture this story now? Here's this crippled fella coming in before the king. He thinks he's going to take his head off. And the king says, Mephibosheth, I'm your servant. Mephibosheth, I'm going to show you kindness for your father, Jonathan's sake. You're not going to kill me? No, I'm not going to kill. Fear not. I'm not going to kill. But just give me a little cabin in the corner of your kingdom. So, no, Mephibosheth. I'm going to give you everything your granddad had. All the riches of his kingdom. I'm going to give it to you. Barbara, you know what he's thinking. This is too good to be true. This king's too good to be true. No, this is the true king. This is the king after God's own heart. This is the way his God is. This is the way his Lord is. This is the way his Lord treats all of those whom he shows kindness to, for Christ's sake. Uh-huh. He restores unto us everything we lost in our father Adam. We lost it all in our father Adam, didn't we? We were rendered penniless, lame beggars. But God, in Christ, restored it all to us. We lost fellowship with God. All that's restored. Complete, perfect communion, fellowship, favor with God. No longer an enemy. He loves us. The life of God, holiness, that was restored by Christ, but imputed by Christ. But that's not all. Oh, Mephibosheth says, this is wonderful. But that's not all. Look at verse 7. And David goes on to say, "And I'll restore unto thee all the land of Saul thy father," and there's more. Yes, "and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Down in verse 11, it says that he'll eat at my table as one of my sons. In other words, I'm going to adopt him. He's going to be a son of David from here on. Well, what's this old boy's reaction to this? Now, when he meets a true sovereign, when he meets a true king, one who is king, and realizing he was the king's enemy, he feared the king, and he bowed before the king, he did reverence to the king. None of this flippant, careless, foolish, blasphemous stuff that goes on today of these pretenders. Like Ziba, this fella, read the story for yourself. Old Ziba was a fake. He did fake obeisance to David knew. But this man really met the true king, and he feared the Lord with his heart. He believed. And then when David tells all that he's going to do for him, David's not asking him anything. He's just telling him all he's going to do. Like God did there in Exodus 6, right? "This is what I'm going to do for you, for Christ's sake. I will, I will, I will, I will. And you shall eat at my table as one of my kings." You shall. Not me. Oh, yes, you. What's his reaction to this? Such kindness, such mercy, such grace, such sovereign grace. David could have done this for any of the sons of Saul. Huh? He had seven others, didn't he, Stan? He could have done it for any of them. But he did this for Mephibosheth. Well, look at verse 8. Here's old Mephibosheth's reaction. He bowed himself again. He keeps bowing them. And said, "Who am I? What is thy servant? That you should look upon such a dead dog as I am." What do you got to say about yourself, Mephibosheth? "I'm a dead dog. I'm like an old dead dog you found on the side of the street. Took home. Caused him to live. Like that child in the field. Ezekiel's child. Your favorite story in the John. Next to this one. That infant thrown out in that field, you know. Cast out. Cast out. Christ came by. It was a time of love. And he said, live. Spread his skirt over. Decked him. That's old Mephibosheth. Same reaction. I was a dead dog. I was one of the king's enemy. He said that over in chapter 19. I was one of the king's enemy. Until you found me and had mercy on me. What is thy servant? And King David, now look at this. This is wonderful. That's not all. King David, read verses 9 and 10. King David, because of the covenant he made with Jonathan, because he's true to his word, he's going to order everything for the good of Mephibosheth. All things are going to work together for good to Jonathan's son, whom he loves, according to David's purpose. You thought that was just in Romans 8, didn't you? Look at verse 9 and 10. "Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou, therefore, you, Ziba, and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him." You're going to plow the land for him. "You're going to bring in the fruits to him, that your master's son may have food to eat." But Mephibosheth, he's not going to work for this place. Mephibosheth's not going to work to earn his place here. He's just going to sit and rest, and everything's going to be brought to him. You see that? He's not going to have to work to get into my family. He got here because I called him. And he's going to sit. And everybody here is going to work for him. But Ziba may have thought, that's not fair. It doesn't matter, does it? All the world exists to serve God's people. Yes, it does. "But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." He prepared him a table in the midst of his enemies. Ziba turned out to be his enemy. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. 36 to wait on one man. All things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. Well, verse 11, that's what Ziba did. He said unto the king, all that the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So, Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. He left old Lodabar, place of no bread or no pasture, dried up, two-bit place, to live in the land of the king, Jerusalem, of all places. And he did eat continually. Every time, wherever David was, whenever you saw David at the table, there's that Mephibosheth right beside him at the table. And he was still lame on his feet. He's still lame on his feet. Somebody once said that old Mephibosheth sat at the table. You're seated. If you're seated at the table, your legs are covered. Everybody's equal when you're seated at the table. So it is, all of us, though lame on our feet, yet covered and hidden. Our lameness hidden with Christ. Did eat continually at the king's table. Well, there's more to that story. I'm going to read it yourself. But old Ziba bore false witness against old Mephibosheth and lied on him. And David knew that. You'll find out where Solomon got his wisdom. Got it from David. David knew. Mephibosheth loved David. He wasn't there for the food. He was there at worship and out of gratitude to his great king. All right, stand with me.
All for justice. Our Lord, thank you for your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness, your covenant of grace you made with your Son before the world began to save such dead dog sinners as we, and send in your Holy Spirit to the preaching of the gospel to fetch us. Thank you, Lord, for your fetching grace. Thank you for this gospel table you taught us to sit at, continually with the King's Son, as the Son of the King. And all for Christ's sake, and it's for Christ's sake, for his glory, we do give thee thanks. Amen.